Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And like all of the shows here, all the podcasts here at WFYI, they are all available on Spotify. Well, it worked once. We'll do it again. I think that's a line Burt Reynolds says in The Longest Yard. Hope everybody is safe and healthy and making chicken salad out of chicken stuff when it comes to what's going on in the world today. But we're going to talk about what you've been watching recently in the last week or so. This is not a hoax. And then we have a couple of dead people we like because, of course, we never have time for dead people we don't like. And I want to start with what I've been watching in the last week. In my household, we do a lot of solo time. Lynn works in her office, well, our bedroom, her office, my wife, and then my daughter Emma works in her room quite a bit, and then I work in my office, and then we get together as a family and cook dinner, and we watch something on the telly. And we've actually been able to go out and walk, which has been nice, especially with a couple of days where it was really nice weather. We did finish the C.J. Walker series. Kudos to Octavia Spencer, and we made fun of the film because it's supposed to be set in Indianapolis, and it was shot in Ontario. We've also been going back and forth between The Good Place and BoJack Horseman, and been trying to put in movies in from time to time. One of the films we watched last weekend, right after the recording of last week's show, and this meant a lot, is the action comedy Midnight Run, the one with Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro, directed by Martin Brest, where De Niro is a bounty hunter who's supposed to transport white-collar criminal Charles Grodin across the country. This came out in the summer of 1988. De Niro had not had a lot of opportunities to do comedy. I enjoyed The King of Comedy, unlike others, and there was, of course, his little cameo in Terry Gilliam's Brazil. But this was his first kind of, straight-ahead comedy with a lot of action in it. And this came out the summer after I graduated from high school. This film, Midnight Run, along with A Fish Called Wanda, were the two films I watched more than anything that year. I saw it several times with friends because it was that good, it was that funny, both of them. And they were both films that I said, oh, you haven't seen this yet? And I'd take my friend by the arm and go, let's go. Those were the two films in the summer of 1988, and then, of course, sprawled into when it came out on video in later 1988 or early 1989 when I was a freshman in college at the Ball State University. So it was fun to revisit that. It still holds up fairly well. And on the Blu-ray, there's some interviews with some of the actors involved, including Yaphet Kotto and Charles Grodin. The one issue I have was they had one of the special features talking about the movie. Whoever did the voiceover referred to Charles Grodin as a little-known actor. This person obviously never saw Mr. Grodin's work in the 70s and early 80s. Now, I know this was his biggest film at this time, and this led to stuff like Beethoven and other films featuring Charles Grodin. But that's a quibble. But other than that, fun to revisit Midnight Run. And then this just came out on Blu-ray, if I remember, earlier this year, if not at the end of 2019. Another Blu-ray release fairly recently, at least this year, was called The Cotton Club Encore from Francis Ford Coppola. It's a nice way of saying his director's cut. And I remember seeing this in the theaters in 1984. It's, of course, you have Francis Coppola. You have a script from Mario Puzo, who co-wrote, a screenplay along with Robert Evans as a producer, who also wanted to, at one time, wanted to direct it. lot of trouble with the making of the movie and some off-screen stuff that kind of tarnished the film. But to revisit it with semi-fresh eyes of we have three stories going on. Three. We have a love triangle between an up-and-coming musician played by Richard Gere, a mobster whose Gere's character saves his life in a shooting that's played by James Remar as basically being is Dutch Schultz, and Dutch's girl played by Diane Lane. You have that. You have the gang war between the different factions, the Jewish community, the Irish community, the black community, and the Italian community. And then you have the tale of Gregory Hines, who's a dancer at the Cotton Club who falls for fellow performer Lynette McKee. And you see those stories intertwine, not enough for my taste. The film is about, I think, 8 or 9 minutes longer than the theatrical run. It could have been longer, and I wouldn't have mind. I think the Gregory Hines tale is a little undercooked, and we could have used more of that. And it would have been fine because the film moves. It got an Academy Award nomination for editing, and it shows. It's a good, splashy crime film, not in the same vein as The Godfather, and I know that's what they were kind of reaching for. But good performances and a myriad of faces that you know and love. Young Lawrence Fishburne, Tom Waits, who became one of Francis Coppola's workers, regular players. Bob Hoskins is really good in this. Fred Gwynn, really good in this. Young Nicolas Cage. If you press pause, you'll notice Mario Van Peebles is a dancer. You'll see Jack Kay as a singer. Alan Garfield is in this. Nice piece of stunt casting with Gwen Verdon as Richard Gere's mother. Diane Venora as Gloria Swanson. A young Jennifer Grey, whose birthday was this week, also has a bit part, as does Woody Strode and Bill Cobbs. So, and it was noted that Richard Gere did his own horn solos in this film. So, also James Russo, Giancarlo Esposito, and a good performance from James Remar as well. So there's a Q&A with Remar, Coppola, and Gregory Hines' brother that comes with the Blu-ray. But it's worth checking out, and then you can hear about the lurid stuff that happened after. Now, I mentioned last week about a famous campy film, a famous bad film, the Oscar, the Stephen Boyd film, that had come out on Blu-ray recently. Another one had come out on Blu-ray recently that I had seen a couple decades ago, and another one I was fun to experience with fresh eyes. If you are a fan of the Golden Turkey Awards or any of the film books that the Medved brothers wrote, you will be familiar with the Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor film Boom from 1968, based on the play The Milk Train Doesn't Come Here Anymore by Tennessee Williams. So shot in Sardinia, you have a remote island run by eccentric rich woman Elizabeth Taylor, and an artist comes to the island, played by Richard Burton, a poet. Or is he? Could be a man from her past. And it's a lot of these two looking and talking. Noel Coward shows up as a witch. According to legend, Katharine Hepburn was offered the role. She turned it down, and Noel Coward took it. As I'm watching this film, I'm going through the notes, and I wrote, is Liz acting? Because there's a lot of her barking orders, and it's almost like a Martha performance from Virginia Woolf, but louder and not nearly as well written. Sorry. The features on this include talking about how this was a kind of a late 60s mainstream art film. Big acting, no focus, but never boring. And this was the first unsuccessful film, the first bomb that had Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. There's also a very loving commentary track from John Waters, who defends its weirdness, highly stylized. And it is something to see. The fact that it's one thing to have a film with a small budget and amateur actors, you know, something like The Room or Birdemic or you know, those types, Troll 2. But when you have big name stars and a budget and you come up with something as just bonkers as Boom, it is out on DVD or Blu-ray, I should say, from Shout Factory. Look for it. And we're going to get into other classy, trashy movies in a little bit. So doing one film based on a play from Tennessee Williams wasn't enough. Also coming out on Criterion Blu-ray earlier this year was The Fugitive Kind. This was the film with Marlon Brando, Anna Magnani, Joanne Woodward. And this was also based on a play by Tennessee Williams, a short play called, it was, I believe, Battle of Angels and then Orpheus Rising. But it's a reteaming of Marlon Brando and Tennessee Williams after the success of Streetcar Named Desire, where and it's directed by Sidney Lumet, who had already had a hit with 12 Angry Men. Brando plays a musician drifter who comes into a small town, gets a job working at a store with the store owner is crippled up in bed near death. His wife, played by Anna Magnani, who had already won an Oscar for The Rose Tattoo, another play based off of a work of Tennessee Williams. And so there's that troubled musician in a small southern town, even though they shot it in New York State. Joanne Woodward is she's the one who gets to really cut loose in this. I believe this was made after her Oscar-winning performance in The Three Faces of Eve. But she gets to turn it up a notch as the local controversial woman with a lot of dark eye makeup. Brando was fairly subdued in this film compared to Streetcar Named Desire. It looks great, shot in beautiful black and white. But it's an interesting footnote. It is lower key compared to the other films based off the plays of Tennessee Williams. We had already had, I believe at this time, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Sweet Bird of Youth, Streetcar we mentioned, Glass Menagerie. And this was also the first film. It's Suddenly Last Summer as well. And this was the first film based off a Tennessee Williams play that did not do well successfully at its initial release. But it's an interesting footnote, and it's, like I said, lower key compared to some of the other Southern fried melodrama films of Tennessee Williams' work. And I dedicate these two film reviews to my buddy Nancy. She knows why. Also on the Blu-ray, besides some good audio essays about Williams' work, are three one-act plays by Tennessee Williams that were done for live television, directed by Sidney Lumet, including This Property is Condemned and Last of the Solid Gold Watches. And there's another one, the title I forget, but it has Ben Gazzara and Lee Grant. Shifting gears, I had the family, we were up, and a film that I adored a great deal. It made my top five, and it was one of those that I showed it to Emma when she was younger, and she doesn't quite remember it. But we revisited Noah Baumbach's film Mistress America because the three of us had recently watched Marriage Story. Co-written by Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig, and starring Greta Gerwig, fun chemistry between Gerwig and Lola Kirk as two soon-to-be stepsisters. Her father is marrying his mother, if I believe right, and she's a fresh. Kirk's character is a freshman in college in New York, and she meets her 30-year-old soon-to-be sibling, who at the beginning of the film seems to have everything going for her. And as the film goes on, at a crisp 85 minutes, you see Greta Gerwig's life start to deteriorate. And it's got a 30s, 40s screwball energy to it, and really nice work from the ladies. I should also note there are certain films like Fugitive Kind and Boom that I will watch first thing in the morning when I wake up and wait for the other smarter two-thirds to start their day. I also revisited a film that made my top 10 back in 2015, Anomalisa, what is listed as the only R-rated animated film nominated for Best Animated Feature, an intimate stop-motion animation film about a couple we have a businessman voiced by David Thewis who meets a woman at a convention voiced by Jennifer Jason Leigh. He turns out the Thewis character is supposed to meet a woman from his past. That doesn't go over well, but he meets somebody even better. It's a Charlie Kaufman script. Kaufman also co-directed the film, and there's only three voices in this film: David, Jennifer Jason, and Tom Noonan is the voice of everybody else. And there's a little symbolism and surrealism about the fact that it takes somebody special to sound different than everybody else in the film. But it was fun to revisit, and there's a couple good features about how it was made. It kind of 1/6 scale, and the stories and the troubles that they had making the film, and the payoff that it came with it. As you've noticed, these are I've been trying to do a mixture of light and dark. I've been trying not to get into the Ingmar Bergman box set, although I want to. And another film that came out on Criterion a while back, and I had purchased it, and it had just been staring at me, and I decided to go for it. The Night Porter. Yes, with Dirk Bogarde and Charlotte Rampling from 1974, which Bogarde's character is a night porter in a hotel in Vienna in 1957. He one night is working and sees a woman from his past, a spouse played by Charlotte Rampling, who was, as we find out, they were both in concentration camps. He was a Nazi officer. She was a prisoner. And they began at that time a sadomasochistic relationship. And they reunite and continue to do the same. Really good performances from the two actors. Not for everybody. Some would say this started the Nazi exploitation subgenre of the mid-1970s. I will tell you this. It's better than any of the Ilsa films. It is a warped romance film. Highlighted, anchored by these two performances. It's an art house film. Like I said, it's not a grindhouse film like Ilsa, but kind of like Jojo Rabbit and much darker than Jojo Rabbit. You either will latch onto the concept or you will not. So you've been warned. And then to cleanse my palate for the fun of it, another Criterion Blu-ray collection, the 1968 concert film Monterey Pop. I watched the original, listened to a commentary track, this and just everybody from the Mamas and the Papas, Simon and Garfunkel. This was Jimi Hendrix's first splash in America. Also, a lot of people were introduced. This was also the time that the world was introduced to Otis Redding. Really cool performance from Ravi Shankar. D.A. Pennebrook did the film. And there's a commentary track with Lou Adler, one of the producers. This particular collection also comes with the complete performances by Hendrix, by Otis Redding, and numerous outtakes. That portion I will hopefully get to next week. And more than likely, you might hear some of those artists on the Blues House Party. So we'll get to that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before I get into what you all have been watching recently, I do want to get to some dead people we like, because we never have time for dead people we don't like. I forgot to get to this last week, so I apologize. But actor Stuart Whitman passed away last week at the age of 92, probably best known for his 1961 Oscar-nominated performance in the film The Mark, and had a full career going from genre to genre. Appeared in films like The All-American, The Sound and the Fury, Murder, Inc., The Comancheros, Shock Treatment, the Sam Fuller film, not the sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show, Rio Conchos, The Incredible Six, Crazy Mama, Mean Johnny Barrows with Fred Williamson, Eaten Alive, The White Buffalo, Butterfly, and Trial by Jury, among others. Also, playwright Terrence McNally, whose work made it to the stage, some of his work made it to the stage, including The Ritz from 1976, Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune, which became short title Frankie and Johnny with Michelle Pfeiffer and Al Pacino, and also the film version of Love, Valor, Compassion with Jason Alexander. I'll tell this story. I'm a fan of Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune. My wife is perfect for playing that part. And I got to do a scene from this in an acting three class with the lovely Melissa Jones. I was a senior in college. And it's a scene where we are being semi-intimate and my character burns himself. And Melissa wore a lovely robe. And I decided to wear nothing but cut-off sweatpants. I was a lot smaller then than I am now, but I still was very self-conscious about my shape. And the white sweatpants, I think my skin was more pale than the sweatpants. And I had not allowed myself to be that open on stage before. And I had a very caring teacher and a very caring acting partner, and it paid off. So thank you, Beth. Thank you, Melissa. And thank you, Terrence McNally. And also passing away, director and writer Stuart Gordon, whose films include the 1979 TV movie Bleacher Bums and 1985's Reanimator. Now, I need to see more of Gordon's work. He's your kind of sci-fi horror director, B-level. But he made for a very memorable night in Flint, Michigan in 1985. I saw Reanimator with my friends opening weekend in a packed house with nothing but knuckle-dragging teenagers and a few girlfriends that were dragged to this, so sorry about that. One of the more famous scenes involves a severed head, doing a particular act onto a damsel in distress, salute to Barbara Crampton. And the last 2 minutes of the film, the sound went off. And we were already a rowdy lot to begin with because this wasn't a Bergman or Fellini film. A lot of suburban white kids yelling at the screen who were not Mr. Science Theater. And when the sound died, we kind of filled in the soundtracks ourselves. And I'm not going to tell you what was said, but it was just a very – and this was before Mystery Science Theater came into our lives, but a very, very rowdy night of theater for a teenager. Some of his other titles include From Beyond, The Dolls, Fortress with Christopher Lambert, Space Truckers, Edmund with William H. Macy, and then in 2007 made a really good grindhouse exploitation film called Stuck, based on a tabloid story with Mina Savari and Stephen Ray about a party girl who accidentally hits a man. He is stuck in the windshield and she doesn't get him out. And there's the title of the film. So look for those titles if you get a chance. Okay, before I get to what you guys have been watching, I posted this on my Facebook page on Thursday. I'm recording this Friday morning. But a friend of mine, and I will mention him, Steven Patterson, who's an actor I got to see work a few years back, did this post, and I will paraphrase. I need some suggestions for absolutely horrendous movie trash to watch. I'm not talking Ed Wood or Godzilla versus the Smog Monster level stuff. I'm looking for films the creators truly believe were major, major movie classic material that just didn't turn out this way. Unintentionally Howl-worthy megabucks disasters. I'm talking The Greatest Show on Earth, Duel in the Sun, Captain from Castile. And I know, and we, well, let's put it this way, we delivered. Here are some of the titles. I'll let you know what I suggested. Get a pencil. You got a pencil? Are you ready? Here we go. Operation Dumbo Drop, Grease 2, Patch Adams, Green Dolphin Street, or any Lana Turner movie. Almost any Lana Turner movie. Showgirls, Heaven's Gate, The Apple. If you're into bonkers musicals, check that out. Blood Feast from 1963. Battlefield Earth, to which Steven said no Scientology zone. Lost Horizon, the musical remake. I'm with that. My suggestions were Skidoo, Valley of the Dolls, or Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, The Oscar, and Boom. And Steven thought The Oscar was a really good suggestion, and that's why I do this. somebody wrote Star Wars Attack of the Clones. I suggested Roar, if you're into a film that's equally hysterical and equally horrifying. The Martin Scorsese musical New York, New York. That's, anyway. Let's see. Moving on, Cats, which I believe comes out on video very soon. I'm not sure if it's available on streaming yet. Trog, if not the last film from Joan Crawford. Robert Altman's Popeye. Showgirls is mentioned. Craig's Wife and the Bad Seed. Zardoz. Yeah, that's pretty good. Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. I will second that one. You Don't Mess with the Zohan. Howard the Duck. Shock Treatment, the sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The Black Hole. Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. Ruby Gentry, Beyond the Forest. Madam X, Valley of the Dolls. Waterworld, Dune, Ishtar, although this person, Richard, kind of liked Ishtar. And I get that. It's not as horrendous as people think. Not a laugh riot, as people say as well. But Airport, and Stephen thought maybe a 70s disaster movie would be good. Towering Inferno, Poseidon Adventure, Earthquake, The Hindenburg. We'll see. Meteor, Volcano, and Dante's Peak. Ooh. Earth Girls Are Easy. He mentioned Tomorrow the World. I thought of the tagline, Today the Pond, Tomorrow the World, from the film Frogs. Let's see. Somebody named Debbie wrote, kidding, not kidding, Titanic. Mark suggested The Room, although that's not what we're looking for here. Johnny wrote, any of the Planet of the Apes sequels? Ow. The Black Hole has been mentioned, Heaven's Gate. Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain. The Howard Hawks production of The Thing. Let's see. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's god awful. Staying Alive. And then I just saw on NathanRabin.com, he just did another section of My World of Flops. The same year that John Travolta made Staying Alive, he also reunited with Olivia Newton-John for Two of a Kind. That's a bad year of films if you're a major movie star. Let's see, Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 1, Paint Your Wagon, ooh. Somebody mentioned Waterworld. Somebody mentioned Repo Man and the blue, a double feature of The Blue Lagoon and Endless Love. Don't do that. Let's see. The New Mummy with Tom Cruise, although Stephen made a point of saying nothing involving Scientology. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Slayer. Once Is Not Enough. Hurry, Sundown. The Cardinal. The Swarm. The 1976 version of King Kong. That's pretty good. Somebody mentioned Barbara mentioned Idiocracy. I replied that's now a documentary. Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. That's a good film. It just didn't do well financially. Sharknado, Sweeney Todd, the Johnny Depp version. Wild Guitar, The Betsy, Captain America or Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. MAME, the musical, not with Angela Lansbury, but with Lucille Ball. Yeah. Somebody mentioned Lost Horizon again, Mommy Dearest, Cue the Winged Serpent, Liquid Sky, Ice Queen. Somebody said, only look at the trailer, don't actually see the film. Inchon, which I actually saw in the theater with my dad. Yes, the film version of The Fountainhead with Gary Cooper and Patricia Neal. McKenna's Gold, Angel. I saw all three Angel films. Yes, High School Student by day, Hollywood Prostitute by night. Braveheart. Somebody mentioned Heaven's Gate again. Little Nicky, Flash Gordon. Somebody mentioned Ishtar again. The Visitor from 1979. Gremlins, Pee-wees. Some people don't quite get the bit. War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise, but we already talked about that. Anything with Vincent Price. Nice. The Story of Mankind. Yes, with Ronald Coleman, Vincent Price, and the Marx Brothers. I also knew that title from the Golden Turkey Awards. Big Trouble in Little China, Con Air, The Wicker Man, I'm assuming the original and not the remake, Shivers by David Cronenberg, as well as Rabid. So those are some courtesy of Steven. Now, there were some titles I didn't get, was not able to get to last week, but I want to make sure I mentioned them. So here we go. Do you still have, you sharpened your pencil? Okay. Tony wrote, The Pawnbroker. This is what you folks have been watching in the last week. The Pawnbroker, Airplane, and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which my smarter two-thirds watched last Saturday when I was at work. And yes, Mrs. Soucy is truly scrumptious. Michael wrote, Over the Edge, Donnie Brasco, and City of God. Keith writes, In the Electric Mist. Cassandra wrote, A Little Bit of Heaven. Maria wrote, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, the whole thing, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, the whole thing. Marty writes, The Peter Butter Falcon, Knives Out, and Ready Player One. Rebecca submitted Snowpiercer. Anne wrote in The Sting, and It Happened One Night. That's very good. Liz said she saw Rocket Man. Steven wrote that he watched Moneyball and Moonlight. Molly said she watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Ian wrote Clueless, I guess getting ready for Emma, the film. Bradford wrote the Lucille Ball version of Yours, Mine, and Ours. Patricia wrote Light Water for Chocolate. And Todd said he watched Jojo Rabbit, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Knives Out. That was last week. Here we go, starting on my list. This started about 7:54 in the morning yesterday. Here's what you wrote. Evan Dossie's been on this show. Mad Max Fury Road, twice. Paula writes, Bonnie and Clyde. Richard Probst, who's been here before, Crip Camp, which is new on Netflix. Steve mentioned Red Dawn and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Hey, Cameron. Cameron wrote Knives Out and Life of Brian. Whew. David wrote Knives Out. Glenn Dobbs, who's been on the show, Little Women and Jojo Rabbit. I'm assuming the Greta Gerwig film version of Little Women. Beth writes Shaun of the Dead and Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Good combo there. Tom wrote Some Like It Hot, Gypsy, and Anti-Mame. Scott wrote, we decided to watch all the Marvel Universe movies in chronological order. Well, we have time. So we watched Captain America the First Avenger, Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and the Incredible Hulk. Next up is Thor. Good luck with that, Scott. Catherine, welcome back to town. On the plane, Frozen 2, Bombshell, and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Thomas, welcome back to you too, Thomas. On the same plane, A Quiet Place, Edge of Tomorrow, Bombshell, and Knives Out. And then there's Logan Lucky, not on the plane. Nikki wrote all of the Harry Potter movies, including Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Greg's who've been on the show, Greg Sorvig, documentaries He Dreams of Giants, Foreman versus Foreman, and Golda. Vicky writes Mrs. Doubtfire and Sleeping Beauty. David Lindquist, gave Casino another shot last night. Turns out I'm still not a fan. Okay, sorry, David. Paul wrote, Emma, loved it. Also, Self-Made, inspired by the life of Madam C.J. Walker, which we talked about earlier, A Fish Called Wanda, and Clue. Steven Patterson, who I mentioned earlier, Crip Camp, the old BBC version of Our Mutual Friend, Rails and Ties, and a live-on-tape version of the final performance of Rattlesticks, The Siblings Play. Thank you, Steven. Missy writes, Tiger King? Yeah, I know a lot of you are watching that. I have other things I need to watch. David wrote The 100-Foot Journey. Yes, with Helen Mirren. Kathy wrote Some Like It Hot. Lou Harry, who's been on the show, True History of the Kelly Gang, The Other Lamb, and Resistance, which I know is new on streaming this week with Jesse Eisenberg. Joshua writes all three Naked Gun movies. Very good. Steve writes, I picked a bad week to watch The Quiet Place, but it was a good flick. You are correct, sir. Cliff writes, A Man for All Seasons, 1966. Once Upon a Time in the West. Ooh, excellent. Interstellar, 1917. In the Heat of the Night, Richard Jewell, and A Quiet Place. Good stretch there, Cliff. Susan wrote, I've been trying to find things I don't normally choose, so I watched The White Crow and The Eagle. Tonight I am having virtual happy hour with my divas, followed by a pitch-perfect marathon. Don't judge. Okay. Maya writes, the live-action Lion King was great. Aladdin was less cool, but fine. Michael writes, The English Game, Self-Made, Cadillac Records, Elizabeth, the one with Kate Blanchett, Mary Poppins Returns, and Jersey Boys. Megan writes, Frozen 2, thought it was very much an 80s-style flick, campy and corny. My guess is that they had all the parents of the kids that will be watching We Are 80s Kids. CJ writes, The extended version of Lord of the Rings. It's still ending. Kristen writes, Bombshell and 1917. Taylor writes, The Two Popes, The Thin Man, After the Thin Man, Sitting Pretty, Ant-Man and the Wasp, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Andrew Blake's Pinups 2, and In Harm's Way. Hannah writes, The Nice Guys, new addition to my top 10 favorite movies. Emma really digs that show as well, as do I. Christian writes, Drive and Snowpiercer. Diana writes, Last Days, Wrinkles the Clown, I Still See You, The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, The Monkey's Paw, Gamer, The Hunt, The Disappoints Room, and that's just what I saw that I can remember. Thank you, Diana. I understand. Susie writes, 3,000 Miles to Graceland. Michelle writes, Tootsie and the Incredible Hulk. Gretchen writes, Last night was Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt in 12 Monkeys. Very good. Lori said she watched Creature from the Black Lagoon and What Did Jack Do? Abdul-Kim Shabazz, he's been on the show. The Hunt, also known as the 2020 version of The Last Supper. I understand. Joe also watched Once Upon a Time in the West. There was a stretch, brief side, folks, there was a stretch where Emma was obsessed with the Sergio Leone spaghetti westerns, the trilogy and Once Upon a Time in the West. I'm proud of my daughter. Jamie writes, both National Treasure movies. I've also been watching some Doris Day movies this week. Cool. No, I need to revisit the Doris Day movies with Emma, see what she thinks. Aaron writes, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. Roxanna writes, Darby O'Gill and the Little People. For the first, and for real this time, my brother gave me a certain login. Then I watched Bedknobs and Broomsticks and the original Muppet movie. Good choice. David wrote 2012 because, you know, junk food. Doug writes 12 Laurel and Hardy shorts. We offer you a Laurel and Hardy handshake. Mike writes 8th grade. Emma and I watched that earlier this year. Excellent. Stacy Sudeville, who's been on this show, wrote, we watched The Hunger Games with Maya last night because she finished book one. She's already deep in the book two, so I'm sure we are deep in the trilogy. Yes, you are. Greg up in Chicago, the banker, liked it a lot. Julia Ricci, who's been on this show, High and Low, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Dial M for Murder, Elevator to the Gallows, Be Natural, The Untold Story of Alice Guy Blaché, so I'm saying it right, and the original State Fair, the musical, not the one with Anne Margaret and Pat Boone. Dave writes, Lust for Life, and he wrote, mid-50s, overacting, bad background music, Kirk Douglas as Van Gogh. You are correct. Howell in Richmond writes, Bombshell. Tony in Evansville, yesterday, Winter's Bone and John Wick 3 so far this week. Wendell up in Chicago writes Uncut Gems. Ellen saw Repo Man. Rachel, Mulan, Moana, Tinkerbell, and Brave. Can you tell we have Disney fans? Yes. Yes, I can. Maria writes National Treasure as well as Madagascar. JJ, are you still down in Bloomington, JJ? Once Upon a Time in the West and The Natural. Julie up in Michigan wrote she watched the musical Mame. And I, of course, wrote Angela Lansbury is not pleased. Patty in Richmond, the live-action Cinderella, the Lavender Hill Mob from 1951, and Inspector Homely Goes on Holiday, 1939. We'll probably watch Kong Skull Island this week because it's a classic. You're funny, Patty. Daniel in Boston writes, for the first time in months, we watched a movie. I showed my wife one of my older favorites, Steve Martin's L.A. Story. Good choice. Dustin in Richmond writes, Dial M for Murder, Wait Until Dark, All the President's Men, The Color Purple, and the documentary College Behind Bars. Roger writes Syriana, Goodfellas, The Pledge, Casablanca, and Castaway. Paige writes that she watched Splash. Kirk, down in southern Indiana, Trouble with the Curve, The Natural. With no live baseball, I had to watch some baseball movies. I understand, Kirk, totally. And you're still a Royals fan. Jared down in Kentucky writes, my 7-year-old is out of school, so go ahead and pick out just about anything on Disney Plus. Aladdin, Mulan, Tangled, Frozen 2, Captain Marvel, Avengers, Thor, Ragnarok. So hang in there, Jared. Kat writes, Julie and Julia. And we watched the Socies watch that last week. Let's see. Abby writes, I recently stumbled upon a hard copy of The Public, which I plan on watching. Very good. Eric says there are no movies until I finish binging The Walking Dead and the new season of Ozark. Okay. Mike up in Kokomo, Jojo Rabbit, League of Their Own, and That Thing You Do. Melissa Davis, my radio sister and coworker, says we watch Contagion. We did. Tyler took off in the opening scene and said, you two are crazy. I'm not watching this. I can't watch those films right now. Maybe later, but I can't do it right now. Not even ironically. Jay writes, The Hangover, Blow, Pulp Fiction. That was just over the weekend. Wow. Rachel in Richmond writes, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Mary Poppins Returns. Bernie says he watched all 3 Taken films. Liam Neeson is happy. Zachariah says, Deadline at Dawn and Dial M for Murder. Sarah writes, the original Bad News Bears, the film Encino Man, The Rocker, the remake of Pet Sematary, Parasite, and last week, Dark Water, the Mark Ruffalo film. Chloe in Richmond writes, Frances Ha, Ginger Snaps, Skeleton Twins, Knives Out, and The Hustle. Very good. Melissa writes, Joker, great cinematography and acting. Yes. Michael in Richmond writes, A League of Their Own, Dumb and Dumber, and Igby Goes Down. David, up over in Attica, a documentary on Clash's Joe Strummer and a documentary on punk music from 2008 called The Other F-Word, about punk musicians becoming dads. Very good. Adrian White writes, Uncut Gems and Born Yesterday. Quite the contrast, eh? Correct. Bethany writes, Frozen 2, three times since Sunday. Toddlers have very strong opinions on what they will and will not watch. Bethany, hang in there. I've been there. There was a period where Emma was watching, and at least she alternated, Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo. It could have been a lot worse. Daniel writes, oh, good list, Daniel. Black Angel, $2 million duck. That darn, I think million dollar duck. That darn cat from 1965. Live action Aladdin, Bombshell, Jojo Rabbit, The Star, Sleeping Beauty, Pollyanna, Yentl, The Mirror That Has Two Faces, part of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I Hate Gore. It's Tarantino's least violent film since Jackie Brown, Daniel. Give it another shot. 101 Dalmatians, The Cat from Outer Space, part of Mrs. Doubtfire. I didn't like it more than I'd liked it the first time. That happens. The 1983 version of Hound of the Baskerville, Greek mythology documentary, ICU, All About Eve, Method to the Madness, a documentary about Jerry Lewis. Still waiting on The Day the Clown Cried. Too Late for Tears, That's Life, Star, and part of Frozen 2. Thank you, Daniel. Lucinda writes, Good Will Hunting, Jumanji, and Barbara, German film from 2012. Jeff writes, Walk Hard, Guardians of the Galaxy, Dances with Wolves. Robert writes, Zatoichi Marathon, the box set. Robert, I am really jealous. I would love the Zatoichi box set. In fact, the last show I did at Earlham College, The Book of Will, I play a blind person. And there's a moment I have that's that my wife, the director, was impressed with, and I had to tell her I lifted it from Zatoichi. So blind man who knows how to use a stick and use it well. So excellent. Kathy writes, Frozen 2, Bohemian Rhapsody, Thor Ragnarok, and Dark Phoenix. Pat writes, Blinded by the Light, great movie, great music. I agree. Good movie, great music for me. Let's see, moving on. Jolene writes, Casablanca, Becoming Bond, and Wine Country. Ms. Borton writes, The Thief, which was a Russian Academy Award nominee for Best Foreign Film in 1997. Sand Dollar with Geraldine Chaplin, and Tristana, a Bunuel film with Catherine Deneuve. Patrick writes The Ritz. Good salute to Terrence McNally there. Daryl writes Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Star Wars New Hope, Frozen 2, Joker, Jumanji 2, and Thor. He says, guess who has kids? And by the way, folks, there's no the in the title Joker. Just saying. I'm that guy. Amanda writes, I watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape again. Hits the spot. Adam, hey buddy. Adam writes, I watched Guns Akimbo last night, and it's fun. Maureen in Chicago writes, Onward, 13 going on 30, all three High School Musical movies, Sister Act 1 and 2, Miss Congeniality, and with a weird turn of events, I wanted to watch more Sandra and ended up watching Premonition. I forgot how chaotic that movie is. Yes, it is. Lisa writes, The Model. Tim up in Michigan writes Bad Boys, The World Is Not Enough, Batman Begins, and Miracle. Frank in Indy writes 8.5, Obscure Object of Desire, and The Jesus Rolls. Mark writes, I've not seen a movie in over 15 years. The Devil's Reject was the last one, music and a little regular TV. Mark, you got to, well, you can't go out now, but you got to give movies another chance. Christina writes Alien Covenant. Jim writes Groundhog Day, 2001, Pinocchio, and Jumanji. Elaine writes The Interview with Hugo Weaving and says that he's brilliant in that. Lee writes Capernaum is an amazing film. You are correct. Mike up in Michigan, been watching Counterpart series seasons 1 and 2. Chris, been watching the original movie Muppet movie as I type. Janet writes All About Eve, Bus Stop, Psycho, Rope, Arsenic and Old Lace, Sybil, Cool Hand Luke, Inherit the Wind, and 12 Angry Men. Good choices there. Jolene Menting Moffitt, who's been on the show. We just finished the Indiana Jones movies. Very good. Hide in the Fridge. Jennifer writes Lady Bird, Midway, I'm assuming the remake of Midway, and Knives Out. Tracy writes, Gross Point Blank. Hey, MTV girl. Heather writes, Life is Surreal. Why not watch something gorgeous? The Cell, The Fall, Titus, Amelie, Pacific Rim, Hellboy 2, Valerie and Her Week of Wonders, Howl's Moving Castle, Room with a View, and WrestleMania's 22, 27, 31, 33, and 34. Thank you, Heather. Brian writes, Multiple Maniacs. I knew we'd get a John Waters title in here. Yeshua writes Dune for some unknown reason, and I watch it over and over again. And finally, Vicky Bolson of Taking Care in Business, right, had the watch Outbreak. Yes, said and did it. You don't have to watch Outbreak, but you did. So, all right, there you go, folks. And my buddy Manny says, hey, Matthew, I can still bring you the head of Alfredo Garcia, but it'll be by mail in the interest of social distancing. And that's it, folks. So I hope you got some titles, some ideas. And this is one of those, if you still can't find anything to watch, I can't help you. It's kind of like saying there's nothing to eat, there's nothing to wear, there's nothing to eat, to listen to, there's nothing to watch. I just gave you several hundred titles, and the listeners and social media nation have given you several hundred titles. So let's make the most out of this. Go see several good movies in the confines of your home. You deserve it. And we'll try again next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Hang in there. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!